Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. More YouTube content suppliers want to take the plunge in TV series making. Viral Nation is guiding them to make hit series. Check out their activity when Viral Nation executives Paul Kellner and Jonathan Chanti join me next. It's Supermarket Sweep meets Treasure Hunt and Beat the Clock. We're referring to Raid the Cage, CBS primetime game show clocking in tonight. Executive producer and showrunner Jack Martin offers an internet radio exclusive preview in our next half hour. Also on track, the SAG-AMPTP blame game continues, big post-the-view television plans for Meghan McCain, and our classic trivia question. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, speaker and tune-in radio, representing the iHeartRadio Podcast Network and more than 40 other podcast destinations. This just in, it's Friday the 13th, October edition, and tomorrow will be televised. Our opening half hour is brought to you today by Laird Superfood, plant-based coffee creamers and other products that fuel you from sunrise to sunset. 63 degrees top of the hour here in New York, and on this Friday afternoon, we welcome you to the latest edition of the program all about TV's current and future. Have a duo of a trio of wonderful guests coming your way over the next hour, and we invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. Pick up the phone, dial in. When you do, take this number down, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway you're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, speaker, and tune-in radio. Got our Chapman business for you as well. It's SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on that Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio speaker tune-in screen. Follow the instruction. Other people will be live with you. Our duo from Viral Nation will join us live from Vancouver and New Jersey after these news notes. AMPTP is totally responsible for the collapse of new contract deal-making with Screen Actors Guild AFTRA 2 days ago. So maintains SAG-AFTRA President Fran Drescher via a segment of NBC's Today program this morning. Quote, it's so wrong and so unfair that they walked out of the meeting. So disrespectful, she insists. Unquote. Earlier, other SAG-AFTRA officials defended their action of introducing a proposal for a per-subscriber revenue fee on Netflix, Max, and other mega content services. Representatives of AMPTP, that's the TV Film Producers Alliance, continue to avoid giving their take on the breakdown in public or on newscasts. In a development earlier this afternoon, other unions involving TV-making people, including the Writers and Directors Guilds of America, are demanding AMPTP resume talks with SAG-AFTRA immediately. If you're wondering the TV whereabouts of former The View co-host Meghan McCain, wonder no more. McCain has formed her own venture, Citizen Kane Productions, to generate a variety of TV content. In her pipeline, a docuseries about the annual charity event known as Touchdowns and Tutus, and a self-described over-the-top unscripted program. Up first, a video presentation of new podcast, Meghan McCain Has Entered the Chat, which begins a twice-weekly run October 17th. Could it be? Yes, it could. Netflix coming to your neighborhood. Wow, that rhymes great. The mega content programmer is developing plans for a Netflix house chain. Each location would feature a shop, restaurant, and experiences connected to current and upcoming Netflix attractions. According to a Bloomberg report, with comments from Netflix Consumer Products Vice President Josh Simon, the first branches could open during 2025 across the United States. Now, quickies, NBC Universal parent company Comcast is donating $2 million to humanitarian relief campaigns in Israel. Paramount and Walt Disney have similar initiatives underway. Space Set original movie If You Were the Last comes to Peacock October 20th. Anthony Mackie and Zoe Chow co-star. Canela Media is launching a 24/7 channel dedicated to Major Arena Soccer League action, players, and information. There are 13 MASL teams, 11 in the U.S., 2 in Mexico. And The Book of Longing, the worldwide best-selling novel about the possible life of Jesus Christ, is under development as a six-part miniseries. International sales for this English-language venture will take place at the upcoming MIPCOM convention in Europe. And that is news notes for today. And now let's get into the world of Viral Nation and what's up to with various YouTube creators. Joining us first from Vancouver, British Columbia, where a lot of TV programming is made, is the programming head at Viral Nation, Paul Kellner. Paul, welcome in.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to meet you. Pleasure to be here. Appreciate it.
Same here. And joining us as well from New Jersey, not far across the Hudson River to the Big Apple, from Franklin Lane, specifically in NJ, we have the head of talent, president of talent at Viral Nation, Jonathan Chanti. Jonathan, happy to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me on this beautiful Friday. All the best.
So, Paul, we'll start with you. How is your organization trying to get YouTube people involved in television?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I've been developing shows for a really, really long time and working with digital talent for years now, really, since about 2005, 2006. And what I think is so amazing about what John and I and Viral Nation are building is we really, really believe in our creators as just phenomenal talent that should be on shows, on streamers, and television. You know, in the past, when I would walk into pitches, you'd always have to do the whole song and dance. Well, they come from the digital world. These are the numbers. Like, we are very passionate about creators. We are very, very passionate that creators should be seen as talent alongside what we call traditional talent, but they are talent. And we're now at a time in media where they have never been more important. So in the past, I'd always have to go into the room and say, you know, but they come from the YouTube world. Now, these YouTubers that I would pitch and I would talk to networks and streamers, that conversation is changing. And we're very, very passionate about developing shows with some of the biggest creators and talent in the world and really making the case to buyers, streamers, and television networks that they should be on the air. These folks are incredible. So really our mandate is developing great formats with amazing talent creators who we feel should have a place on some of the biggest networks and streamers out there.
Jonathan, what kind of talent are we talking about? Can we name any in this conversation?
Paul, up to you, my friend.
For sure. Absolutely. I can jump in. You know, one group we're working with really closely is the Basement Gang. Toronto-based best friends, incredible dancers, came to fame online on TikTok during the pandemic. They are buddies. They're very talented dancers. They do incredible dances on TikTok. People love them. And we are, you know, developing a traditional television show. And when I say television, I really mean streaming, but it could be on television too, show with these incredible dancers. And what's great about these is, you know, there's a lot of great dancers out there. There's no shortage of finding great dance talent on the internet or anywhere. What's special about these guys is their chemistry. They truly are best buddies. They're very family friendly. They're very fun. And when I saw them, you know, I spoke to John and we were like, these guys are amazing. And we brought them to a really great production company called Buck Productions, based out of Toronto as well, but have a global footprint, big shows on HGTV, US, et cetera. And they said, these guys are amazing. In fact, the head of Buck Productions, his kid, his daughter is a huge fan. And he was like, oh, they're really relevant. Let's develop something. So, you know, I think Basement Gang are a terrific example of a creator who we feel really could hit the main stage of streamers or television networks and have what it takes. And not just because they're great dancers. It's the chemistry. It's the vibe. It's the way they interact with each other. That special recipe, that heartwarming recipe, is what we feel is needed to sell a show around a great creator.
Jonathan, is creativity the main, let's say, point that's important for you and Paul determining what talent from YouTube can make the transition to TV?
I would say it's one point, not the only point, because, you know, luckily when you have the right team around you, like Paul, et cetera, we can help foster further creativity and develop shows and develop formats that are meaningful based on what, you know, the addressable market's looking for. I would say first and foremost, one, what does their total addressable audience look like now on YouTube? How engaged are they? What is the vertical of content that they're creating? Is it family? Is it food? Is it, big, funny, you know, contests? Those are crucial. And then also, what is the appetite and propensity to work at, you know, this craft of developing a show versus, you know, creating content for YouTube? Because it, you know, the plus and minuses of being on YouTube is you create content, it's immediately deployed to the masses. No one's actually coming in and writing a check to purchase it. When you're creating a show with the hopes of it being purchased or being, you know, put in greenlit into production, someone has to say, you know what, I believe enough in this to invest in it. So there's a lot more liberty taking on creators on their own on YouTube because they're investing in themselves. But when it comes to actually creating a show that can be delivered and sold to you know, a major network or streaming platform, they have to decide whether or not they think it's worth investing in. So, you know, the work ethic and the willingness to develop and support and grow and move in the right direction is super important on the creator side from an attribute perspective.
Yeah, and I'd also add to that, you know, we see so much of what the creators do online already, right? They put their lives out there. The question from the buyer standpoint, if you're a major streamer or TV network, is where is the story going? What are you saving for us that we can tell that you're not showing the audience every single day? And I'll give you a very specific example. We're developing a show with Bone Collector. Larry is one of the most prolific streetball players in the world. He helped really pioneer streetball basketball in America. So we are developing a very interesting series around his story and how he did it. And there's more to it as we develop it that I can't say, but I will say it is a very sort of special look at his life and how he really pioneered streetball. And we're doing that with Box Productions. But why I bring that up is that people know who he is. He's famous, but they don't know his whole story. They don't know how he pioneered it. So we're really going to, you know, take a deep dive into his story, and we want to sell that to a streamer because he's not doing that online. So we're saving that. We're making that the next big thing for him. So I think, where does the story go? How do we say something that they're not saying every day to millions of people on Instagram or TikTok or YouTube, et cetera?
We're talking with two of the key people behind Viral Nation. It is the organization that's now out to bring a lot of YouTube talent to television in various channels and services. We've got Paul Teller, he's the head of programming, and Jonathan Chunty, the president of talent. And they're both with us live from Vancouver, British Columbia, and Franklin, New Jersey, across the Hudson River from New York, respectively, here this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Happy you're with us on this Friday, the 13th afternoon of October. Simon Abbott with you live from New Haven, New York, 64 degrees as we get to a quarter past the hour. And we invite you to be part of the program. All you got to do is pick up the phone and call 646-652-2906 or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Next week, we will be on the air Thursday and Friday because Bad Week New York, which starts Monday here in the Big Apple. So we'll be with you on October 19th and October 20th. Coming to you on October 19th, we will have two people from a company called Altman Solon, which recently came out with a study about the habits of Spanish language television viewers, including an interesting interest in interactive TV. Their names are Daniel Weinbaum and Mary Ann Halford. And then a week from today, we will have the President Chief Executive Officer of an organization that is now trying to get Dude Perfect. Remember them, the big YouTube stars? Well, now they have a channel all their own. We'll talk to Neil Gruniger from A Parent Media Company, which a few days ago announced they've got their own channel, and we'll find out how it's working. And also from Wit Media, we'll have Senior Director Jenny Benheim. She's got some interesting information about where things are going with the so-called fast channels and also how people are enjoying networks like Netflix, Amazon Prime Video, et cetera, et cetera. It's all coming your way Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, as well as Thursday, right here next week on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Paul, a lot of people, when they think about YouTube creators, think about unscripted, lifestyle, game, all sorts of programming. What about scripted? Are some of these YouTube creators, and we know that there are many of them, they're doing web drama series, comedy series, stand-up, so forth. Are any of them in your radar screen in terms of taking their work and making it a TV series in some way?
Yeah, so it's a great question. You know, scripted has always been, I don't want to say harder, because they're both really tough genres to sort of sell projects in. But, yes, I've sold a few scripted shows with creators before, and certainly John and I in Viral Nation have our eye on scripted, absolutely. We've got two projects that we're really passionate about in the scripted space. And, look, it's a different skill set. I think naturally, organically, creators are doing unscripted because they like to vlog, they like to talk. That's really reality TV if you think about it. But scripted and acting is such a different skill. So I think to some, it's a natural thing. And actually, there's a lot of creators who do acting classes and they really do want to become actors. I think it is less than the unscripted stuff because that is just sort of natural to putting on your phone or your camera and talking, and that's really reality TV. But we are seeing more creators who are interested in taking, you know, a scripted approach. And you can even, you know, go as far as saying sketch comedy is acting, it's scripted. So we're working with a lot of, you know, a variety of sketch performers and thinking about shows there. But yeah, I think scripted is harder. Not harder, it's tough. It's not easy to sell a scripted project. It actually is years in the making to make it right and to actually make it happen. But we are seeing more creators who want to, you know, be actors and develop with us scripted premium projects that are, you know, longer than 5 minutes, that are half hour or 1 hour. So it is definitely on our radar, and we've got two scripted projects in development with creators.
Mm-hmm. Jonathan, whether somebody is doing a scripted, semi-scripted, hybrid scripted, unscripted piece of work among your YouTube talent, what's the most important thing that you drive home to them in terms of making the transition?
That, you know, it's going to take work. And also don't expect, you know, I think one of the hardest expectations for creators who have been very successful on YouTube and have leveraged ad monetization via YouTube or AdSense, as we call it, and have made, you know, tons of money, I think the expectations of how much they're going to get paid early on to be in a show or, you know, in a new series is sometimes flawed. You know, you could be making, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars a year on YouTube via your AdSense. Doesn't mean that you're getting paid to be a part of a new TV show. So that kind of crossover into, you know, transitioning into the big screen, as we say, or onto TV screens or onto a streaming platform, that's sometimes where, like, the disconnect's going to be in the sense of what they think they're worth in the digital world versus what they're up against in the, you know, formal acting and television and movie world. So that's somewhat of a little bit of a challenge for them from a conceptualization. And, you know, again, as I said earlier, too, just like putting in the work, you know, reading a script and understanding how to read and operate as an actor and actress is very different in some cases from, you know, doing your own shooting and editing on YouTube, where you can control the creative direction, you can control the lighting, the video, and also the quality of that content is not necessarily held to the same degree of production as a show on TV or a movie even. So there's a lot of little things that can kind of throw creators for a little bit of a doozy early on. But if they're motivated and they want to be successful and make that transition to crossing over, they get past it pretty quickly. It's just about having the right attitude, being coachable, and truly investing in the opportunity to take your career to the next level so that you're ensuring as long of a lifetime as possible as a creator by moving to the big screen.
Exactly. And I'll just jump in for one more second. It's, you know, I think it's about extending your brand. Where do you want to be 5 to 10 years from now, right? It's part of the 360 of your career, right? Continuously doing well online, rocking out content for your loyal fans to watch every single day, every single moment. But what's your book? What's your app? What's your TV show? I think it really all feeds back to the brand of who you are and what you want to do, and it becomes one important piece of many pieces as you build your career. And I think, look, to this day, I think there's still power in driving down Sunset Boulevard and seeing a billboard for your TV show on whatever streamer. I think that has a lot of power. And when you look at the streamers, you know, the streamers are an interesting club. They've got specials with Jerry Seinfeld. They've got specials with Joe Coy. I mean, these are huge comedy names. And I still think if you're a comedy creator in the digital space and you've got a project with a major streamer, that's a really important world to be part of because, you know, those are seasoned people. Those are seasoned performers who have been in comedy clubs for 30 years working out their act, and they're on, you know, a major streamer. So having a show there, I think, is very, very special. And, you know, while – you know, I just think that's a club that's important to be part of as you sort of fast forward your career and looking to where you're going to be 5 to 10 years from now. I think it's an important piece of the puzzle.
Same with you, Paul. While a lot of people may think like the goal is to get on a mega content service, what I call like the major streaming service, like Netflix or Max or Peacock or Paramount Plus and so on, we now have, thanks to smart TV sets and devices, reaching 90% of all, or taken by 90% of all U.S. households, and I'm sure a wide percentage in Canada, where you are, Paul, that there are all these new channels that are popping up, and I'm sure all of them, or many of them, are trying to get original content. So have the horizons for Viral Nation expanded beyond just let's get on Netflix, let's get on Hulu, let's get on Amazon Freevee, let's get on Peacock, and look at some of these new networks, especially, for example, if you have talent of color or communities of color, and you see, for example, all these new African-American networks that are coming along or networks owned by African-Americans like UBC, Afroland, Stellar TV Network, and so on.
100%. I think the market is changing every single day. Look, I think there's certain buyers that 3-4 years ago people weren't going to, and now you know, their finances are in a very healthy place where they're making investments into originals. So I think at this point, you know, we're living in a 2,000, 5,000, 10,000, you know, quote-unquote TV universe where there is a lot of selection. Now, not every single buyer is buying. They may just be sort of running programming, but they're not necessarily making investments in originals. But there are new ones popping up every single day. And, you know, what I hear from creators is, Oh my goodness, you mean I don't have to show up with a crew? I don't have to worry about production? I don't have to worry about working on that budget? There's a team that's going to do that? That's a very big thing for a creator who's been hustling and grinding out content by themselves or with their best friend every single day, to have a production crew and a set budget to make a make an idea happen that they couldn't do on their own is a very special thing. So we're keeping our eye open to all of these new platforms that are emerging, and I think they're all really important. As long as they support the creativity, they support the creator, the budgets are healthy enough to actually execute an idea that looks great and feels great and speaks to the audience. And again, authenticity, right? If we're going to bring a creator to a platform or to a streamer, it's about the idea, but it's also about being authentic to who that creator is. The audience is loyal to that creator. So if they watch their TV show, it's got to make sense. It's got to be in the wheelhouse of what they do. It's okay to be premium. It's okay to take it to the next level, like I want to travel the world and find the best food or whatever that might be, but it still has to really stay authentic to who the creator is and why people love them.
We're talking about Viral Nation and their effort to bring some of the popular YouTube television personalities into TV. In other words, going from the web or wherever, how you see them on mobile phones, et cetera, and bring them into your TV set room through smart TV sets, smart devices, and also multi-channel bundles. Paul Teller is the head president of programming at Viral Nation. He joins us live from Vancouver, Canada. And Jonathan Chanti is the president of talent. He joins us live from across the Hudson River in Franklin Lake, New Jersey. And they're both with us for a few more minutes this half hour here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Coming up, I'm with you live from New York, 64 degrees. You approach the bottom of the hour. Let's hear from you. Make that call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And coming up our next half hour, a big internet radio exclusive. Jack Martin, the executive producer and showrunner of the new CBS game show premiering tonight, Raid the Cage, hosted by Damon Winnings Jr. That's premiering at 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time on your local CBS station. Jack will be with us live from Los Angeles with an internet radio exclusive preview of the new show and a whole lot more on the game show scene, too. So give us that call, 646-652-2906. Use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And we have our classic trivia question. Last time you can hear this one for a quartet of prizes. That's also coming up in our next half hour. Jonathan, when people hear about a Dude Perfect, as I mentioned earlier, that has now formed a new 24/7 channel on smart TV sets and devices, do you sometimes run into other YouTube talent that think, oh, if Dude Perfect can make this happen, I can too, and maybe it's time for them to sort of get real on things?
Absolutely. Actually, we're a big advocate for it. You know, we have an entire OTT syndication fast channel practice here at Viral Nation because you also don't necessarily need to go the Dude Perfect route and launch an entire new channel for yourself. You can actually, you know, we can actually take about, you know, 100 to 500 hours of your catalog and distribute to other amazing channels out there as you grow your catalog. And because here's the reality, Dude Perfect, you know, one of the most revered YouTubers in the world, but also has a massive catalog of content. So they are capable of being able to launch their own channel. Whereas other creators who can have unbelievable, compelling content and doing phenomenal work may not have as an extensive of a catalog and therefore need to be a part of already channels that already exist. But here's the good part. You know, there's an opportunity for everyone if you have the right partner, and that's what we provide to our creators is the ability to actually take advantage of this new era of streaming and fast channel and OTT syndication. So another amazing revenue stream for talent, something they don't need to launch on their own. They can do it in partnership with us.
Mm-hmm. So, Paul, big question. What's the timeline in terms of when we get the chance, we the viewers get the chance to see these shows?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're deep in development. You know, we've got a very large and robust slate, but we've got a few projects right now that are really on the fast track. So hopefully sooner than later, we're in development on a few, and it's looking great. Can't say what they are on this program, but hopefully can come back and talk more about them when they're ready to go. But yeah, we've got several that are on the fast track, and again, those shows really star amazing creators with great concepts. And I also want to say, you know, we're doing some very meaningful co-productions with some of the biggest production companies, not just domestically in the U.S., but across the globe. So we're really being thoughtful about who we partner with. And, you know, this is years of relationships between Jonathan, myself, and other great people at Viral Nation, where we're really making meaningful partnerships with huge reality companies. Some of them are massive, some of them are smaller, but make phenomenal shows. So, you know, sooner than later, definitely, and excited to hopefully come back and talk more about it. I love this show, and I need you to call me every morning and wake me up because I think your energy is amazing.
Oh, thank you very much, Paul and Jonathan. And I want you to know that as you get your shows up and running, we would love to have the creators on our program. So please make an open invitation to them. And before we leave you, Jonathan, we have Jack Martin, as I mentioned, coming up in our next half hour talking about Raid the Cage, his new game show on CBS premiering tonight. Are any of your creators thinking about getting into the game show scene?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, funny enough, there's a few creators we work with. I can't really kind of talk about it now because I don't want the cat out of the bag, but there's a lot of amazing creators we're working with right now who are actually truly interested in getting exactly into that format. And kind of thinking about shows that were already really successful, like, you know, for example, like A Family Feud, but adapting it to a modern era of what's actually happening right now in YouTube content and looking at challenges as opposed to trivia. So, you know, it's an amazing space and it's an easy adaptation. And depending on the category that you are as a creator, especially if you're a huge family creator, it's a perfect one-to-one, you know, symbiotic translation, because if you're a massive family channel, you're getting tons of amazing parents and kids and young adults watching your content. To then go create a phenomenal game show that speaks to them is not a hard feat to jump to.
Yeah, exactly. And it's so natural, as John is saying. Like, a lot of our creators are doing game showy type stuff on their channels and on their socials already. You know, it may be less epic than what you would see potentially on a CBS or on any major network or streamer, but it's a very organic format to doing online, whether it's talking to people on the street, dares, whatever it might be. Game show is something that I think will be around forever. And in fact, we even have a game show in development right now with creators that we're really excited about rolling forward. So I think that's, you know, to John's point, a very important genre that is an easy jump from digital to mainstream streamers.
And one final note, are you thinking interactivity now that we have critical mass in smart TV sets and devices allowing people to use their voice remote, their body language, in the case of playing games, a joystick, where they don't have to use a PlayStation or an Xbox or a video game console like that to watch a game on their TV set. Any thoughts about interactivity?
Sure. Yeah, I can jump in. You know, I always say this. I think interactivity is fun, and I think technology amazes me every day. What's going on in that world is unbelievable. But when I sit down and I think of a show, it's got to make sense for the show. I don't necessarily sit down and think, oh, I got to think of an interactive show that has all these, you know, bells and whistles and elements. I think it's great if it makes sense organically and naturally for the creative of the show, fantastic. But I think it's got to make sense. I think even with technology being so incredible, AI, et cetera, at the end of the day, people want to, on their phones, however they watch, you know, shows, smart TV, whatever, they just want to watch a great show and they want to watch interesting people doing something cool. And I think that'll never change. But if there's an interactive element that really brings people together and sort of capitalizes on, you know, innovative technology that we're seeing every day, fantastic. But it's not, for me at least, the recipe to a great show. It's a part of a show if it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. If you want to know more about Viral Nation and the TV series with YouTube talent that they are creating, here's where you go online, viralnation.com. That's viralnation.com. Paul Taylor, Jonathan Chauncey, thank you both very much for coming on. Again, open invitation as you get your series on the air. We would love to have the creators on the program. And thank you both for making today's segment happen. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having us. It was fun. Thank you.
Absolutely. Take care. Enjoy the weekend.
You too. Appreciate it.
You as well.
Paul Taylor and Jonathan Chauncey joining us live from Vancouver, Columbia, British Columbia, Canada, and Franklin Lane, New Jersey, across the Hudson River, respectively, here on Tomorrow Be Televised. We'll be back with more of our program, but first we have some words from a great sponsor, Laird Superfood. Are you ready to feel more energized, focused, and supported? Go to LairdSuperfood.com and add nourishing plant-based foods to fuel you from sunrise to sunset. Use the promo code TELEVISE at checkout to save 15% off your purchase today. If you're looking for a better coffee experience, for example, try out Laird Superfood Creamers. They're produced from high-quality, all-natural ingredients, sustainably sourced at Whole Foods. There's no artificial flavors, colors, or additives. So ramp up your energy and focus today with Laird Superfood Creamers. They're available at LairdSuperfood.com. That's LairdSuperfood.com. And remember, you save 15% off your purchase when you use the promo code TELEVISE. Jack Martin, the executive producer and showrunner of Raid the Cage, he joins us live from Los Angeles after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, tune.com, speaker.com. Together, reaching over 90 million listeners around the world every month and growing. BTR is your home tonight for the Friday Happy Hour. If you want a happy hour of entertainment to get yourself into a great weekend, check out the Friday Happy Hour tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. Don't forget Best BTR, always 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome to the second half of Smart Be Televised on this Friday the 13th afternoon. This half hour is brought to you by online grocery Sun and Swell. It's offering a world of delicious snacks and pantry faves anytime. Sammy App, I'm with you live from the Big Apple, 64 degrees at the bottom of the hour. Another great guest coming your way, and we invite you to be part of the program. As always, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. CBS is on a game show roll this fall. New episodes of The Price is Right at night, including one tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. Let's Make a Deal primetime coming back with Wayne Brady as the host next month. Lotteria Loca already off and running earlier in the week. And now, tonight, at 9 o'clock Eastern Pacific Time, it's CBS's latest new primetime game show, Raid the Cage, hosted by Damon Wayans Jr., making his game show MC debut. Joining us live from Los Angeles in an interview exclusive, the executive producer and showrunner, Jack Martin. Jack, welcome in.
Hey, Simon, great to be back.
And great to have you back. Congratulations on this show. So what got you involved in this format? I understand like Deal or No Deal, which you were involved in way back when. This is also based on an overseas concept.
Yes, it's an Israeli concept that is produced by United Studios, and it's been in 15 countries internationally. Sony America, USA, had the rights to it here, and the great bosses over there, Suzanne and Michael Mandel, recruited me. We're old friends. To come in and work on the pilot about 6 or 7 months ago. And we went down and worked with the Mexico City team, which does a syndicated version of that. And they were amazing to work with. And we did the pilot, and the pilot came together on, and they picked up the series, 12 episodes, starting tonight at 9 o'clock. So, good friends, reward me.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No. How does Raid the Cage work? Oh, okay. So two teams of two are competing, answering questions, 10 questions in 45 seconds. The two teams work together. We have a gabber and we have a grabber. The gabber answers the questions. The grabber raids the cage. So you answer the questions. You earn time for your partner in the cage. As soon as that 45 seconds runs out, the cage doors open, and the grabber runs in. And in that amount of time, they grab as many things in there, electronics, trips, even a brand new car, you know, so they grab as much time as they can. But the trick is there's no clock anywhere in the studio. Nobody knows how much time they have in the cage until they hear 3, 2, 1. On one, the doors close. If you get caught in the cage, you lose everything. If you get out with whatever you get out with, the worth of the prizes you gathered becomes yours. There's two teams go back and forth for three rounds doing this, answering questions, raiding the cage, getting stuff, getting trapped. The person who has the most value of prizes moves on to the final round, which is called Beat the Cage, where they get 90 seconds to raid the cage and grab as much as they can. The losing team leaves with nothing. The winning team gets to keep everything they grabbed in the first three rounds. And then if they get $50,000 worth of prizes in the final round, they get to keep what they won plus the whole value of what they grab in the Beat the Cage round.
When you assemble and your team assemble the prizes for the cage, do you personalize any of the prizes so that the teams know, for example, if you get into the cage, here's a prize that's like especially for you or geared to what you've always wanted, that's up for grabs?
Absolutely. That's part of the casting process. We find out what people are dying to have, whether it's a trip around the world, or they need a brand new car, or they've always dreamed of an outdoor pizza kitchen, you know, like, so there's definitely at least one prize for each team that we know they're going to go for.
And like Deal or No Deal, you have a celebrity that is hosting for the first time. You know, you and Scott St. John did a great job with Howie Mandel. Now you have Damon Wayans Jr. What was the learning process for him to become a Master of Ceremonies? Was it similar or different to the process Howie Mandel went through?
I mean, they're both, you know, comedians. Damon's a prince, as is Howie. And really, we just – he signed on, and we spent a lot of time in a conference room at CBS running the show, you know, and just going over it and over it. And, you know, the trick to – you know, you want, by the time we put the cameras on the host, we want them to know the show backwards and forwards. So they don't even have to think about the game mechanics. They just get in there and their personality shows through and we highlight our contestants. We also have Jeannie Mai as our co-host who is down with the grabbers by the cage. She's brilliant too. Just two very, very talented, wonderful people.
And by the way, Damon, and I want to get to Gene back in a second, but Damon is also as an executive producer. What is he like as an executive producer working with you? Does he know, like, when to turn on being the host versus when to turn on executive producing, looking at things from the big picture, the small picture, and determining, okay, here's with you, here's where a direction we should go, or here's a prize we should maybe have more in the cage?
Yeah, I mean, Damon's incredibly collaborative. Spent a lot of time working on, you know, the questions and the jokes and, you know, really prepping, you know, getting ready for the show. And then once he goes on the stage and the cameras turn on, he takes off that executive producer hat and just becomes a very talented MC.
Jack Martin is who you're hearing this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. He is the executive producer and the showrunner of CBS's brand new game show premiering tonight, Raid the Cage. It premieres at 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time after a new episode of The Price is Right at Night, hosted by Drew Carey. And Jack joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised on this Friday the 13th edition for October. Simon Abbott with you live from the other side of the country, that's US of A. And that's New York, 64 degrees at the bottom of the hour. We want to hear from you. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We'll be with you next week on Thursday and Friday. No Monday show because we're going to be involved with Advertising Week New York, which has anywhere from 13,000 to 15,000 people there. We expect a lot of news coming out in terms of interactive television, interactive ads, shoppable ads, and so forth. So joining us on Thursday will be David Weinbaum and Marianne Helford from an organization called Altman Salon, which has come up with some interesting research about the viewing habits for Spanish language television viewers, including a big interest, a really big interest in interactive television. And then we'll meet the person who put together the new Do Perfect channel that is now running on smart TV sets and devices. His name is Neil Greniger. He's the president and chief executive officer of a parent media co, and he'll join us as well as our lead guest. Also joining us, the senior director of WIP Media, which does a lot of interesting research on how people watch television, Jenny Benhame. That's all coming your way Thursday and Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. I knew Jeannie way back when. I think she is dynamite. A lot of people know her from her Emmy-winning turn on The Real, the syndicated talk show that ran nearly a decade, and other things too, including Joker's Wild version with Snoop Dogg that ran several years ago on TNT. A lot of people who have known Jeannie from those gigs or from her work with Style, the former cable network, they're going to be very surprised at how, if you think she's energetic on The Real or other places, wait till you see her on this series. Tell us about that.
I mean, Jeannie Mai is, she's a treasure. Yeah, her enthusiasm, I mean, we had to hold her back because she wanted to raid the cage with the contestants. You know, she's kind of, she's the controller down there. She's pumping people up and revealing the prizes when they're finished and our mystery boxes. And no, she, you'll see on the show, she is constantly bouncing up and down. She's brilliant on camera as a co-host, and her energy and her personality are just contagious.
Now, you just mentioned that there's another aspect to this, which is the mystery box. It sort of reminds me of Treasure Hunt. The Jeff Edwards revival of that Jan Murray series of the 50s, where you had to pick from among like so many boxes to see if you got that $25,000 check or whether you got a clunk. So how do the mystery boxes enter into the picture?
Well, we don't have any zonks or any bad prizes. We have 10 mystery boxes in the cage at the start of the show, and one of those is our mega mystery box, which only the viewer at home knows where it is. So you grab a mystery box, and it could be anything like Gucci shoes or, you know, a trip, you know, or anything like that. But there's one that's worth, you know, over $10,000 in every show. And it's kind of a fun, you know, we give Survivor some credit when you're looking for the idol and the viewer knows it's in the top of the tree and they're all running around the tree, but nobody's looking up in the tree. So just an added element of that. And when you come out of the cage, the first thing that's revealed, if you grab a mystery box, is the contents of that. And if it's the mega mystery box, it's, you know, it's even better.
The promo that CBS is running includes somebody trying to get a car, and we're talking a big car, out of that cage. How big is that cage? And did you have any issues in terms of putting the cars as you're producing and taping these hour-long shows, you know, getting the cars in, having to test and get the cars out? Talk about that side of the experience.
No, I mean, it's the wonderful people in Mexico City have had a car in every one of their shows. And so we built our cage based on those specs to make sure we could get a car in there. And it was, you know, kind of a game of, it has to be a car that, you know, a small contestant, you know, could push out. It couldn't be, you know, a Suburban. So we had to kind of find, you know, there's a Mini Cooper in there. There's a Lexus in there. There's a BMW in there, you know, and no, we didn't have any problem with people pushing down a cage or loading it in.
When you and your casting people look for contestants, we had somebody on our last show yesterday from the Casting Collective, which has worked with game shows. They've worked with unscripted shows, shows like American Idol and Dancing with the Stars and so forth. What's the trick for you in terms of casting contestants for a show like this?
Well, we worked with Jackie Pittman at Pittman Casting and her wonderful team, and I think what we really looked for was personality and how they'd work together as a team. You know, wanted motivated, fun people. And we have, you know, father, daughter, a mother, son, spouses, best friends, siblings. And just, you know, when you're looking at 12, and that, so that'd be 24 teams, you know, looking for diversity in all of those teams. You know, like, oh, do we have a twins episode. You know, we have a firefighters episode. And just, really, really just the personality and people you want to cheer for. And the Pittman team, I've worked with them on many, 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 many shows, and they always deliver.
And just like Deal or No Deal, backstory is so important. A lot of people will say the success of Deal or No Deal was finding these contestants who were going through incredible things in their lives, and it really added to what they were playing for, whether they, you know, won or lost, ultimately, because it is, you know, is a game of luck as well as chance, like
yep.
When you pick what box you pick and when you pick it and so on and so forth, or case, excuse me, and what you pick. That backstory was so compelling for people at home.
Yeah, I mean, that was Neil Constantini and Luke Conklin and their team, and then Michon Nix deserves the credit for really building those backstories, because Deal or No Deal is literally just pick a box. So we had to have a lot of story beats behind it and, you know, possible prizes that those people be interested in. And that you're right, along with Howie and the models, contributed a great deal to Deal or No Deal success. So we wanted to have on Ray the Cage, really wanted to have people you're going to cheer for and you cared about. And we changed some lives. You know, one of the contestants, who were winners, who were amazing, and came with me after and said, "Jack, that's more money than we've made in the last 2 years." You know, like, and they did it in an hour. You know, and you want it to be life changing. You want it to mean something, and you want it to be people you really care about. And once again, Jackie Pittman and our wonderful producers on the show did such a great job bringing that out in our contestants.
As you're taping these episodes, Jack, what do you learn about the behavior of the contestants and the behavior of the audience, the live audience that watches this? I go back to a Deal or No Deal episode. I think one of the most compelling episodes I saw was this contestant who, when faced with a banker offer to get a basketball court that would be erected in his country, home country, Trinidad and Tobago. He decided, I have to take this. I have to put myself apart from winning, because this is something I want to do for people back home. This is going to be more priceless than anything. And he decided, I'll take the deal. That basketball court is up and running. And literally, he was responsible for changing a lot of lives for the kids who used that court. So I'm wondering, you know, and that's like, and it was so unexpected also, because you would have thought that he would, may have want to continue, because a lot of the contestants, when they have that offer from the banker beyond the deal cash, that they would, you know, keep going or try to find some way to counteroffer in the later CNBC episodes. So I'm wondering, as you watch, you know, these contestants do their thing, what do you learn about human behavior? You know, what comes across, and what maybe, and what surprises you?
I mean, I read the cage. I think everybody comes in with a plan. You know, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to get this, and we're going to get this. And when those cage doors open, the whole plan goes out the window, because the stress of running around trying to grab things, you can only go in and out of the cage once in the first three rounds. So you're in there trying to grab as much as you can. And, you know, we prep them saying, put it on it or in it. You know, like a lot of people were smart enough to push the car out and throw a pair of Air Jordans on top of it, you know, and load it up and load it up. And from everybody you talk to, they have a plan. They're good athletes, whatever it is. And as soon as that clock starts, the adrenaline goes crazy and panic comes in.
And just to be clear, the contestants, they do not come in wearing a watch or some time or some timepiece, because you said they don't know.
Nobody has.
How long the seconds go?
Nope, they have no idea. And Damon or Jeannie doesn't either. So it's literally you're in there running around until the whole set turns red and you have a 3-2-1 countdown for the first three rounds and a 5-second countdown for the last one. And Simon, I do want to point out one other element in the cage. Heath Luman and Vestalia were our wonderful co-executive producers, and Heath and his team built these challenges in there. So you go in and complete a challenge to get a token that counts for a trip, whether it's making three baskets or it's untying a rope or throwing rings up in the air to land on a finger. You know, like there are all kinds of amazing challenges. And there's one challenge in round two in round three, and three in the beat the cage round, which adds another element of stress to the contestant. Not only do they have to grab prizes, but they have to earn things and budget their time. You know, the bigger prizes are in there. And every round, the cage gets to be worth more money, you know. So we just elevate, you know, what they have to do in the cage and how much it's worth. And it just builds and builds and builds until our beat the cage round, which is obviously worth the most.
The first premiere episode of Raid the Cage is tonight, 9:10 Eastern Pacific Time on your local CBS station. It also will be available on Paramount Plus Showtime Live, and next day on Paramount Plus, available on smart TV sets, smart devices, and multi-channel bundles. We're speaking with Jack Martin. He is the executive producer and showrunner of the program. He's with us for a few more minutes live from Los Angeles. Let's hear from you. Give us a call, 646-652-2906. Or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And coming up, before we leave you at the top of the hour, our classic trivia question of the week. We have four prizes in play. Last time you're going to hear this question, so get your pen and paper handy and your brains cooking, because you might be our next classic trivia winner. Jack, what do you think about the fact that this fall we are seeing this incredible breakout of primetime game shows? They're all over the place, and this may be the biggest collection of primetime game shows since when game shows really weren't primetime in the 50s.
I mean, as a game show producer, Simon, I'm thrilled. I think the world needs a little levity and fun. And my favorite thing about producing game shows is you get the chance to make somebody's life better. You know, winning money, winning prizes, you know, by answering trivia questions or playing games. I think it's quality entertainment. I think it's something the whole family can watch together, which there isn't a lot of. You know, there's happy endings and there's drama, and, you know, it really satisfies everything. And I love the resurgence of game shows. I think it happens, you know, I've been doing this for a long time, and, you know, you hear, oh, game shows are dead, they're never coming back. And then somebody launches something, you know, just a reboot of, you know, Let's Make a Deal, you know, or The Price is Right, primetime, you know, and it blows up the ratings because people are hungry for it. Good, quality, fun, family entertainment.
Mm-hmm. John Quinn, the executive producer, speaking of Let's Make a Deal, was on our show last week, and we talked about the role of the director. In his case, Lynn Goodside, wonderful director. He may have gotten an Emmy nomination. I don't think he has. Time he does, by the way. But talk about your director on Raid the Cage and the contribution his or her is making to the program.
Our director was down in Mexico, and he just did an amazing job. You know, he directs all the Mexican versions of it. So he's done, you know, 200, and just, you know, we had over 10 cameras and an aero crane, which is a new form of jib, and he worked with us hand by hand and developed it, and along with JP and Jack DeCastro, you know, that whole team came together, hardest working people I've ever worked with, and the most collaborative. So all the shows I do, you know, it's a collaboration. You take everybody's skills and you know, bring it together, and that's how you get a good product. And Len Goodside and John Quinn are dear friends, and you're right, Len Goodside deserves an Emmy for sure.
He's done a fantastic job with Let's Make a Deal, and I've seen some new episodes in season 15, 60 years since Monty Hall introduced it. And as a matter of fact, Let's Make a Deal Prime Time will be coming your way at 8 o'clock next month. And I hear the episodes that John was telling me are going to be really amazing, including a special 60th anniversary salute.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, Len, John and I did Do No Deal together, and Don't Forget the Lyrics, and Len directed Car Charge for me, and Scott a few years back.
Mm-hmm. Earlier this week, I did a little, we have a segment here called Something I'd Like to See, and I talked about the fact that there were three game shows that I grew up with in the 60s that I would love to see somebody bring back, which have not been revived. One is Player Hunch, the game that Merv Griffin came to TV fame on, Mark Goodson, Bill Tomlin production, that starred on CBS in 1958. Seven Keys, wonderful game show with Jack Nahr on ABC, and then Video Village, which was on CBS. That was the show that really broke it big for Monty Hall. By the way, all episodes of all three are available on YouTube. Is there a game show that you grew up on or loved that you would like to see brought back?
Tale of the Century is something I grew up on. And, you know, it's, you know, that I just remember loving that. I mean, I love that, you know, John is brought back. You know, I love doing Card Sharks, so without that back. I love the job that John does on Press Your Luck. That was one that I really grew up on and wanted to see come back. But Tale of the Century would be the one I'd like to see rebooted.
Yeah, it's time. I remember the original one that Jack Kelly of Maverick fame hosted on NBC from Al Howard.
Yeah.
Who also played Supermarket Sweep. And then the big version with Jim Perry. One of the best game show hosts ever. I think he's now getting his due in recent years for the work he did on the original Card Sharks and on Tale of the Century.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. It's still very big in Australia and other parts of the world. It's time to bring that back. And wow, the prizes that they had on that show were really amazing.
Yeah. Can you imagine it in 2024? I mean, it'd have to be huge.
Just for the instant bargains alone.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So, Jack, while you're waiting to find out if Raid the Cage is going to hit home with viewers and maybe get another round of episodes, any other game show projects you're working on?
Yeah, I'm bringing back the reboot of At Midnight on going on after Stephen Colbert, 12:30 on CBS, starting in January.
Mm. How's that going? I love the original show that Chris Hardwick did. It was a hoot on Comedy Central.
Yeah, that was me. That was I did all 600 of those with Chris, and that was best job of my life. It was amazing, and it's coming together. We just started, you know, pre-pro, so it's, you know, CBS and Funny or Die and Spartina, Stephen Colbert's company, and so we're very, very excited just to get started and in a hurry to get ready for January.
That means we got to have you back, Jack. Absolutely, we have to have you back. And
hey,
who's the host also? And who's the host, by the way, of At Midnight? Is Chris coming back or somebody new?
Don't have one yet. No, don't. No, Chris is doing other things. So, we're meeting with hosts, so we don't have one yet. That's part of the part of the rush. But yes,
okay.
Simon, I'd love to read your show. Always fun.
Absolutely. Anyway, Raid the Cage tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time on your local CBS station. Check your local CBS station area. You can also catch it on Paramount Plus on Showtime tonight, and you can catch it the next day on Paramount Plus. Both services available on smart TV sets, devices, and multi-channel bundles. For more details online, go to cbs.com and www.paramountplus.com. It's cbs.com and www.paramountplus. That's all with the plus, by the way, is spelled out, .com. And don't forget, next month, the return of the primetime version of Let's Make a Deal, hosted by Wayne Brady. That will be happening next month at 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. And tonight, the latest edition of The Price is Right, at night, also p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on CBS. Jack Martin, thank you again for joining us before your show comes on. Good luck with the program. Hopefully tonight's the beginning of a great long run, and you are always welcome back anytime. It is a pleasure.
Simon, always a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for having me, and please check out Raid the Cage tonight. You're going to have a lot of fun.
Will do. I will be sitting in front of the set for it. Have a super premiere night tonight and a great weekend after.
Oh, thank you. You too, Simon. Appreciate it.
You got it. Jack Martin, the executive producer and showrunner of Raid the Cage, again tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on CBS, joining us live from Los Angeles. Classic trivia question coming up. First, a word from the fine folks at Sun & Swell. Sun & Swell is the first online grocery store with a fine line of healthy, great-tasting foods that come to you in plastic-free, compostable packaging. Every item is 100% vegan, gluten-free, and free of added preservatives or ingredients. If you're looking for a more planet-friendly pantry, shop Sun & Swell. Get 20% off site-wide when you go to sunandswellfoods.com. Use promo code TELEVISE at checkout. 20% off your entire order when you use promo code TELEVISE at sunandswellfoods.com. One more time, classic trivia question. Name the dog star of the 1990s Topper television series. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to include your name and your email address. If we don't get a winner by the end today, post the question tomorrow on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook is Simon Applebaum, extra Twitter at UBC Simon, CWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to play in. Do so on the very best quartet of prizes for you with the right answer. Thanks to our guests for being here today, all of you as well. Be back, not Monday, Thursday and Friday of next week, 15 Eastern New Pacific. If you came in late on today's program, want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Don't forget to check us out on podcast, on the iRadio Podcast Network and many other podcast destinations, as well as our website, tomorrowbetelevised.com. Love to hear from you. What do you think about our show today and our guests? You email me. And also, you can find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, and extra Twitter. And as soon as you do, we respond back to you in 24 hours. That's our hope, because what you say matters. The views expressed are those of the participants. Messages of Blog Talk Radio distributes this program. Andy Cho is BeachR's general manager. Dave Fallenberg is head of content. Website supported by On Podium, the internet's new podcast, Outpost. Guitarist Vegas is our web coordinator. Marvin Televised is brought to you today by online grocery Sun and Swell, offering a world of delicious shakes and snacks and tasty faves anytime. And by Laird Superfood, plant-based coffee, creamers, and other products that fuel you from sunrise to sunset. If you're interested in making a contribution to emergency relief, go to the United Jewish Appeal and Federation of Jewish Philanthropies website. That's the United Jewish Appeal, Federation of Jewish Philanthropies website at www.ujafedny.org. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a wonderful weekend. Back on Monday, back on Thursday and Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio Speaker, TuneIn Radio, and all of our podcasts and web destinations. Whatever you do between now and then, please be safe. Have a fantastic time between now and next Thursday. And, of course, say a prayer for the people of Israel and everyone impacted by what is going on there right now. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.